Well, what did James write as the first letter to the New Testament church? Simply this, he exhorts them to make a clear and simple way of life that reflects a mature walk of faith. He says, will you turn away from these childhood illnesses? Stop your impatience with troubles. Start living the truth instead of quickly talking about it. Get that tongue under control. Stop bickering and being jealous. And stop collecting material toys. Get down to business and grow up. Well, so he writes a letter. And this is what he says in chapter 1. He says, a mature walk of faith will endure troubles. That's down through verse 11. Starting in verse 12, mature walk of faith will deal with temptations and turn from them, 12 to 16. Verses 17 to 27 in chapter 1, a mature walk of faith will learn to obey the word of God first. Chapter 2, he says, a mature walk of faith will allow no prejudice in the life. No prejudice based on any type of external will be allowed. Number 5, he says, a mature walk of faith will display itself in godly works. That was last week. Now look at chapter 3, and I want to divide it into three parts for you, because this is what he says in chapter 3. A mature walk of faith bridles the tongue. Now when I was a little boy, we had an Arabian quarter horse, my sister's dream. Saved all of her money and bought this beautiful show horse. And she was afraid of it, so I got to ride it. And I'll tell you what, that was a feisty horse. I found myself more often than not on the ground. And after knocking me off and just about killing me, Misty would come over, this beautiful, beautiful horse, and would just look at me and go, and look at me down there. Sometimes I would be dazed. But I learned the secret. I learned what a bit and bridle were for. And this horse had the amazing ability, if you didn't watch it, to get the bit between its teeth and it'd hold it. And you couldn't do anything with it. And so I learned how to not be holding on to the reins until I needed them. And then I would get that thing and clamp that tongue, and boy, that horse would come right up on its wheels, you know? But if I let it hold its bit in the tongue, or its teeth, it didn't get under control. And what he's saying here is that a mature walk of faith has learned to use the bridle on the tongue. And there's spiritual maturity, that we can say stuff, but we don't. And we could go on and on. Like the woman that came up to Charles Wesley when he was preaching one time, another notorious, overflowing mouth person, and came up and she says, Mr. Wesley, your strings on your tie are too long. And Mr. Wesley said, does anyone have scissors? And someone walked up to him, handing him a large pair of scissors, and he said, Madame, trim at will. And she cut his tie right up to his collar so it looked ridiculous. And then he said, may I have the scissors? And he took them and he says, Madame, your tongue is too long. He didn't cut her tongue off. Okay, verses 1 through 4 says this. The tongue, used powerfully, is able to harness and direct, like the bit and the rudder. Okay, look at verses 1 through 4. He says, don't be many teachers. Verse 2, we all stumble if you bridle your body or your tongue, your whole body's under. Look at this, verse 3. We put bits. That's important. A bit in the horse's mouth. Look at verse 4. We put rudders that control the ship. But what he's saying is this. Number 1, the tongue used powerfully is able to harness and direct. I mean, I think about the power of Churchill's tongue when he mobilized England. I think of the power of Lincoln's tongue when he said that very short speech at Gettysburg. When speeches of the day were going for 4 to 6 hours, he spoke a mere handful of words that began the healing process of the nation. Our tongues, if they're used in the power of God, are powerfully able to harness and direct. Then verse 5, the second part, says this. The tongue used perversely is able to burn and destroy. And we've seen this in our lifetime. And what he says in verse 5, the tongue is a fire. And it's like, verse 7, it's like a beast. And at the end of verse 8, it can be full of deadly poison. And the tongue used perversely can burn and destroy like fire and beasts. That's 5 through 8. And then the last section of our passage this morning starts in verse 9. And this is where I think we should really savor these words. Verse 9. The tongue used purely is able to renew and refresh. And that's going to go into our next time when we start looking at verses 13 on about wisdom from above. But we should be not merely seeing the power of our tongue. And we should rarely see the perversity of our tongue, but we should see our tongues purely used. To come into a situation and bless God by refreshing people, by restoring situations, by pointing people to God, and letting this little transmitter, this little broadcasting unit at the front of our face, bless God at all times.